We're back to the Neil Haley Show, and you know, I start thinking about this guest, and you know, as a former Pittsburgh, and again, now I'm relocated in Texas, going back and forth to Pittsburgh as well. My business is more in Texas. I start thinking about specifically enough this guy because I hear the radio all the time and everything. I never thought I'd have him on the show, but you know, I interview all these major celebrities, so I got to have a legendary Pittsburgh entrepreneur. He's an author, speaker, Jim Shorkey. Jim, thanks for stopping by. How are you?
Oh, I'm great. I'm so happy to be here. I mean it sincerely. I really am happy to be here. So thank you for inviting me. It's an honor.
Oh, I thank you. I appreciate that. And we'll definitely for the Pittsburgh people who know the name Jim Shorkey. Now, did you ever think that name would people would know? Like if you go to Pittsburgh and you say that name, people know you, and it's from brand recognition. It's what people all are trying to do, as my agency works on, is how to build a brand, brand recognition through growing a tribe and a community. You literally, that name grew to where you are today. So when you first started out, Jim Shorkey, how did you get that brand to where it is today? It's amazing, especially locally. We're talking locally.
Well, you know, it's so people say that to me a lot. You know, did you ever think this would happen? And truthfully, I didn't. I had no idea. I was just trying to survive. My father died on March 24th, 1996. And, you know, if I knew half as much as I thought I knew when my dad died, I would have been pretty darn smart. Long story short, started to run a business according to my ways, my arrogance, my know-it-all type of an attitude, and ended up 2 years later, bankruptcy imminent. We weren't going to make it. We were going down. We were going out of business. And that was two years after my dad died. Now, to go back a little bit, my dad ran the business for 22 years. I mean, he owned the business for 20 years, I should say, and he ran it successfully. And here I am 2 years later, the heir apparent, the prodigy, so to speak, and it's bankruptcy imminent. And it felt really, really bad, really awful, terrible, embarrassing, cried, the whole thing. And so, you know, I had to figure it out. And so what I did after I finally bottomed out is I went I sought expert counsel, which was the advice I received from Napoleon Hill in the great book, Think and Grow Rich. Mm-hmm. And that's what I did. And I went to Mr. Hamilton, who was my dad's former partner. And I just asked him for a list of 10 things that I should be doing to be a successful automobile dealer. And he thought about that and said, well, let me think about it. Come back tomorrow. I'll have a list for you. So I go back the next day, get the list. And I started to execute that list. And lo and behold, the needle started to move just a tad, you know, so I kept doing it, moved a little more, and I went back for more information and kept moving and went to all these different sources, Chrysler Financial, GMAC, NADA, think tanks, et cetera, books, videos like what you're doing here, and just learned and learned and learned. And I just kept moving that needle. But the idea was not to build any kind of a brand. The idea was not to be, quote, Jim Shorkey. Jim Shorkey is just my name. That's who I am. But the idea was to survive and then to prosper. And actually I started to prosper and to make, you know, a lot of money, but I was so afraid of going back to bankruptcy imminent that I just kept pressing and pressing and pressing. So a lot of times people will say, well, you know, you got to go after a goal and, you know, you want to go after the positive goal and all that. And I do agree with that. I think that's important. But at the same time, I think it's also important to very clearly identify what it is that you don't want, what consequences you don't want, and to really dwell on those as well. And most importantly, is to figure out why don't I want this? What does my reason why not make me cry? And why do I want this? Does my reason why make me cry? And so I really dwelled on those two things. And then lo and behold, the name Jim Shorkey did become a household name only because we were pursuing the idea of selling cars, making a buck, getting out of the hole, et cetera. And it just kind of happened. It wasn't like, I'm going to make this a household name. That was never my goal. My goal was survival, if that makes sense. That's a long answer to a short question.
So it's a household name. The advertising, putting money into advertising. So you're getting probably different questions than you think, because I'm thinking as a marketer, okay? I'm thinking it as, okay, you're starting this there. It's a red ocean of different car dealerships, and they all run TV commercials, radio commercials. But you kept surviving in that process in television, but you also, your name is synonymous in the area because you kept growing. And you said, you talk about Napoleon Hill, Think and Grow Rich, but what did you think about in the marketing end of things, of marketing your name and how you made your name a trusted name in Pittsburgh?
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. It's not a question of making it trusted as far as like, it's not like an automatic thing. I had to, you know, we had to really figure out a way to give the best possible service that we could to every single client upfront, you know, from the greeting of hi, how are you, to the end product of selling a car and then servicing that car after the fact. And so we really worked very hard on taking care of the customer. So when a guy said to me years ago, and I'm talking probably 30 years ago now, said, don't ever advertise service unless you're willing to provide service. So we advertised what a great day. And this was a great place to come. And it was a great day. And we were enthusiastic and positive. And so if you think about what a great day, right? How can we say what a great day and then make it a bad day for the client, right? You're going to get smacked in the face every single time. You're going to say, wait, what about that? What a great day crap, you know? So you have to have a message. And it has to be, you know, a tagline oriented message, which what a great day was and is. But at the same time, we had to deliver on that message of what's making it such a great day. And so we had to make it a great day for the client. And as that happened, what a great day became more of an influencer, along with the name Jim Shorkin, because that only happened because what my advertising agent, much the same as yourself. I mean, I'm a car salesman. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not an advertising guy. So I'm not a marketing expert, but I do believe in expert counsel. And so when I decided to change directions with the dealership in terms of how we were marketing back in 2004, I just had this intuitive sense that we needed to go a different direction. And we wanted to go more mainstream. We wanted to make Suzuki at the time a really top flight brand in terms of brand recognition. And so I brought in Frank Marmion, who was my advertising agent at a time, and we parted ways, and then I brought him back and I said, hey, I want to change directions. And so what he did was he came in and he had a sandwich board and a couple different placards that he made, and it was all centered around this idea of what a great day. And he said to me, because I used to answer the phone, I got this from Zig Ziglar, my phone answering was, what a great day, this is Jim Shorkin speaking. And I'll say it in really the way I said it. I was like, what a great day, this is Jim Shorkin speaking, right? And I said that every time I answered the phone. So Frank Marmy says to me, you know, I always liked the way you answered the phone, I think we can make this into a marketing message. And so what happened out of that was we had the logo and it was all Frank designed, all that. And right. Again, he's the expert. I'm just a guy. I'm a bit player at this point. So we had that message, and we had a jingle, which was right. Just repeated every time. Right.
Yeah.
And so, but we started to, so what Frank said was, Jim, I always liked the way you answer the phone. And so he designed this thing around me answering the phone. So believe it or not, when we did the commercials, they actually were live commercials over the phone. I'd be sitting here like you and I are sitting here talking right now, and my sister would bring me the script and say, here it is, Frank's on line one. And so I would say, excuse me a second, Neil, I got to go do this commercial. And I literally got so good at it that I could leave this right now, go do the commercial, having never seen the script, and I'd do it in 5 minutes, one take, we're done. And so it was a script or how do you say it? Is it script?
Some sort of script.
Anyways, I'm from Pittsburgh. We don't pronounce things the right way, so you know that.
But anyways, well, I know so, that.
Anyways, they would hand me the script, and I would just ad lib per se to a degree. But bottom line is, we get so good. But it really was designed to be visceral, from the gut, extemporaneous sounding. I'm just answering the phone. What a great day! This is Jim Shorkin speaking. Frank Marmion is on the other line. He actually was on the phone and say, Jim Shorkin, I heard you're giving away Suzukis this week. What in the heck is going on?
I remember always driving into specific things or on commute and listening and hearing that. And see, and you're reminding me, because honestly, I know the name, but now it's all coming back to me again. And I hear it all the time when you're in Pittsburgh. It's such a big thing. So let's kind of look at you in a lot of ways, looking at Napoleon Hill and all that stuff. You trusted this, right?
I did.
It felt right for you. And that's part of your success, right? You knew that what you treated your customers, if that could be marketed to what the days of television and radio, which are not anymore, those days are gone. I mean, people still think it they're good, but I'm sure more and more brand recognition of where people are going now is changing.
It's completely, but
you came in at a time where you had a tagline. We all know Pittsburgh somehow has, because I go in other cities and I listen, they don't have brand recognition. Somehow Pittsburgh does it. There are a few guys out there like you that have this brand recognition that you can walk out through town and they'll know it. I don't know. It must be a Pittsburgh thing, right?
It could be.
What a great day. You think about specifically enough Edgar Schneider, you think of just certain people in this town of Pittsburgh for people that are in Pittsburgh that are watching this on Pittsburgh TV and listening to this and saying, oh my gosh, Mills is interviewing this guy. The fact is, that's it. And that is a brand. This is the thing I try to tell my clients, I have to tell everybody. Once people know you for some reason and they have brand recognition, they're going to buy from you more than the person who does not have brand recognition.
No question. No question.
It's the bottom line. Do you feel that that was the way to grow your empire in Pittsburgh, meaning your car empire? This mantra?
I have to say no. I have to say no to that, because what happened was, again, I wanted to change direction. And so I had learned from Napoleon Hill this idea of Seek Expert Counsel. I did it with Mr. Hamilton. I did it with Pressure Financial. And I knew how well it worked. So I can recall the conversation exactly. I said to Frank Marmy, and I said, hey, I'm a car salesman. I'm not a doctor. I'm not the same thing I'm saying right now. I said, I'm not an advertising guy. I said, so what you're saying makes sense, but I don't know. I said, if it works, we'll keep doing it. Well, guess what? It worked, and it kept working. It always works. We never changed the formula. It just kept working. And again, to make it clear, I'm not an expert. I'm really not. I just study experts. And that's the difference between me and a lot of people, is I study experts.
That's the top entrepreneurs. Bottom line. They go to the best. They go to the best person in each area, and they grow from them. Let's think about, Richard Branson. Yeah. He seeks the top people in every area. He's not thinking he's the expert. He delegates it to the right people. That's successful entrepreneurs. They aren't the constant, I'm doing everything myself. I'm going to other people. And that's very interesting when you looked at Napoleon Hill. And the successful ones study the thought leaders. They study the thought leaders all the time. And I am looking at work. That's an improvement. I'm looking at self-improvement. It's looking more and more at the thought leaders. Luckily, I have some counsel of people who tell me about everyone's thought leaders. And I have almost a photographic memory. And I remember someone saying something, or because I interview such amazing people like yourself, I'm able to go back and say, oh, let me quote this or do that. Seeking counsel.
That's cool.
So you went and looked at those thought leaders, and that's how you built and said, here are my mistakes I was making. Now, this is who I'm going to bring in, the right people in every area of the business to make it a success, it sounds like.
Correct.
Right?
Right. And so, I believe, I'm a very big believer in my to not do list. So I go to expert counsel and I say, well, here's the things I'm doing. I say, oh, wait a second. Number 4, 5, and 6, you got to stop doing that. And sometimes the stop list is way more effective than the go list. Right. And so I actually accumulated, or I created both. Like, I had a go list, I had a stop list. Right. So here's the 10 things I got to do. Here's the 10 things I got to stop doing. And if I'm doing stupid stuff, what's going to have more of an impact? The stupid stuff that I stop doing or the good stuff I start doing? I would venture to say that it's the stupid stuff that I stop doing that's going to move me quickest to the goal. But the interesting thing about it is I don't have to choose, but I do have to do both. I really believe that. So if I want to be healthy, I got to eat healthy food, but I got to stop eating unhealthy food. Right. And there is a lot to that. So what I did with Frank was I told him, Frank Marmion, I told him point blank, I said, Frank, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just a car salesman. I want to sell more cars. Here's what I want to do with Suzuki. And so if it works, we'll keep doing it. And I really did delegate that responsibility to Frank, and he ran the whole deal. I did nothing. I got this, like I said, he handed me the script. I read the script. I mean, anybody could have done what I did in terms of the script reading and all that. Now, maybe other people would take more time because they're not like, I mean, I've been selling cars since I was, I was born between two bumpers, right? So I can speak very well. And you know better than anybody, this is not a scripted conversation. I have no idea what you're going to ask me. No clue. I have no notes. You didn't send me any questions.
And you're impressed by me. This is all my head.
So I prefer that, So we're not speaking from any kind of a plan. I have no idea what your next question is, and I will answer to the best of my ability. But that said, with Frank, I delegated that to him. It kept working. And I really do believe, here's what I believe. I believe anybody can seek expert counsel. Just find some. If you're the smartest guy in the room, if you're the smartest girl in the room, you're in the wrong room. You got to get out of that room, and you got to get to where you're the dumbest person in the room, the poorest person in the room, whatever the case may be, whatever you're working on. But you want to get around people that are way better than you, and then just start asking questions and take a blank piece of paper with you and just write things down. And it's like amazing. Like, wow, that's a really good idea. Of course it is. The guy's a multimillionaire. He's got all kinds of good ideas. So I started taking these good ideas and putting them into play, taking the bad ideas and pulling them out of play. And over time, I just kept getting better and better and better. And I went from one dealership to two to three. When I left, it was six. I'm retired. So I retired in 2016. But here's a really interesting thought about this, which your viewers may really appreciate about branding. So I left at six dealerships and roughly, I'd say around 350 employees. When I started, it was 40 employees, one dealership, selling about 1,000 cars a year. When I left, it was selling probably about 5,000 cars a year, roughly. Well, now that same dealership group sells over 25,000 cars per year, and it's 17 dealerships, and I'm not involved. It's my children own that business, and my children and my brother own that business independently of myself, 100%. I have no involvement whatsoever, but there's the legacy. There's what happens with this kind of stuff is that it just keeps going on as long as they follow the principles, which is find somebody smarter than you and have a conversation. When you want to do something, you know, that people say that, or no, it's a scientific fact. The shortest distance between two points is a straight line.
Right.
That straight line is seek expert counsel. And even with seek expert counsel, there's going to be some sense of a circuitous route. But the absolute worst thing you can do, and audience, you want to write this one down. Trial and error is a recipe for disaster. Do not do trial and error. The trials take way too long. When your bankruptcy imminent, there ain't no more take too long, right? You have to act fast. Wow. So trials are too long and the errors can be devastating. And if I had made an error back when I was bankruptcy imminent, I'm gone. I don't make it. So I couldn't do trial and error, and I don't recommend it. Even with, like I said, seek expert counsel, there is some sense of trial and error because your expert may make a recommendation which doesn't fit your mold,
exactly.
But most of them will. So you have to do some sense of trial and error, but believe me when I tell you this, if you do trial and error, it might take you 10 years to get to where you want to get to, if you get there at all, versus if you do seek expert counsel, you'll get there in a year, 2 years, that kind of a thing. It's just way faster.
So, see, I like that idea. How do you seek expert counsel without paying for it, or you're going to have to pay for it? What are your thoughts?
Well, interestingly enough, so the fellow that I went to initially was Mr. Hamilton, and there you go with the trust and the knowing. Mr. Hamilton was my dad's former partner. He was a very successful automobile dealer, had the cars, the boats, the houses, the whole thing. And I knew that he was wealthy. He was very successful. And so I knew that I could go to him. Number one, I knew that I could trust him. And so that's what I did. And so that was free. Right. And then I kept going back, and it was always free. You know, I think he even bought lunch, right? Cause I had no money. So anyways, Mr. Hamilton was a great resource, but from that, I learned so much about seek expert counsel that I then reached out to Chrysler Financial, which was the financial arm of Jeep at the time. Mm-hmm. And so Jimmy Lawn came in with some people and asked me some questions, which clearly indicated that I didn't know what the hell I was doing. It was very obvious. And so he actually brought in a team of auditors to audit my books and give me a roadmap to follow. Well, that audit would probably at that time have been 25, 30 grand to get that done. They did it for free, absolutely free. And, you know, I have to say my dad was in the business for 22 years when he died, or he was the owner. He was in the business for, probably 36, 37 years when he died, but he had a lot of good friends. And so those friends, it wasn't like I called in any favors. I just called and said, I need help. And they came in and they did this for free. Right. And again, we're talking, 25, 30 grand bill to have a full books, right. A financial statement audit. And then they came back and did it again a year later, again, all free. And talk about a list of advice. It was just unbelievable. GMEC, Jim Kacharski, a good friend of my dad's, I asked for help. He sent me, they were actually VHS tapes. You're too young to know what those are, but with VHS tapes and with workbooks on how to be a successful car dealer, I tore those things up. I joined think tanks that did cost money. I went to training classes that did cost money. I went to NADA is a group thing for automobile dealers. So I did some different things that did end up costing money, but initially GMAC, Chrysler Financial, Mr. Hamilton, and also Alizar, who was my banker, also very helpful to me. And this was all free. And they were very gracious. And they were all friends of my dad's. And I think that was a part of the thing. But, what I found about truly successful people, you're going to talk to 10 successful people. 9 will say yes, 1 will say no. And you just move on from the no. Wow. But these successful people love to mentor people like me. And as long as I show an interest and I got to show up early and I got to be ready with, and I got to be a student, right? And I've got to be very willing to listen and learn and execute, right? And they take a lot of pride. Mr. Hamilton took a lot of pride in the success of Jim Shorkey because he felt that he was responsible for that. And he was, he absolutely positively was. So I think that the successful people kind of feel like they have an obligation to do that. I know I do. I decided back in 2001 that I couldn't take all the credit for my success. I knew I couldn't because I had so many Mr. Hamiltons out there. So I decided that someday I was going to do the same thing. And that's why I'm here today. This is what I'm doing now. I'm retired. But I think if I took my knowledge to the grave with me, I think I would be amongst the most selfish people in history. And I'm just not going to do that. So I have a message. I know how to be successful. I know how to teach people to be successful. And that's my goal today is to teach people how to win, how to be successful at whatever it is that they want to be successful at.
So you take all your knowledge, and your success, you put together that plus the together, and now you're doing it again. So you wrote a book, right, Jim? So talk about the book. And I'm going to take the idea of seek expert counsel, and I'm going to take initiatives in the next couple of weeks to say, okay, who am I going to get with that is much larger than I am where I'm going and how I can get with them? Because I have the tools and the tool shed. I can reach out to anyone in the world because of my show. And this is the thing that people have to understand. If you have a podcast, you have a radio show, you have a television show, you can become a successful business owner or entrepreneur because ultimately you can get to the right people because it's all about surrounding yourself with the right people. So let's talk about your book now.
So yeah, the book is just a story of what happened. You know, like I said, I just a quick synopsis of my dad died on March 24th, 1996. So that's a clear day to me. If I knew half as much as I thought I knew when my dad died, I would have been really, really smart. The fact is I had no clue. The expert counsel came to me. I turned it down. That's how arrogant I was. So my dad was part of a think tank, and one of the deals with the think tank is they will send in a team of members from the group to run the dealership alongside you while you're going through this transition period. Because having a father die, the founder of the company die, is a really, really big deal. Guess what I did? I resigned. I got this. I don't need your help. I wasn't rude that way, but I resigned from the group. And I went on and did my own thing. 2 years later, I'm bankruptcy imminent. And that's a story in of itself. I get a call from my sister tomorrow morning when we open up the dealership. The bank account's going to be a negative $55,000. Never forget that. Meaning checks are going to bounce. So I mean, needless to say, I didn't sleep that night. I went to the bank the next morning. I was there before they opened up. I think 7:30 in the morning, they weren't even open. And I told Elazar I would meet him there. And he came out and greeted me. And we went in and he assured me that the checks wouldn't bounce. And I want to be clear about this. I really didn't feel like those were my checks. I felt like those were my dad's checks. And that was my dad's name. And how could I let this happen, right? So I was so embarrassed, so sad. Sad for my dad. I didn't want my dad's legacy to be bankruptcy. That would have been what it was. That would have been his legacy. In essence, I mean, he runs it for 20 years. 2 years later, it's gone. I couldn't accept that, right? So I was very sad, very upset. And that's why I'm a very big believer in the idea of I like to dial into my fears. I like to dial into my bad moments or even predict future bad moments. I think about, you know, for example, some sort of a chronic disease. I think about that. Like, what can I do to prevent, delay, mitigate that, right? So anyways, that's the story. But it tells the story of how, you know, my dad dying and then the bankruptcy imminent and then all that went into that. And then what I just told you already, I don't know that I'd really call it a book. I'd call it a chapter. It's a very short read. So it's probably not going to win the Nobel Peace Prize anytime soon or
it's a good way to tell a story.
It's a great way to tell a story.
So basically what you're doing now is what you got the help to grow your business.
Yes.
Now want to help other people do the same. And that's your mission for the rest of your life is to give back and to give opportunities. So where can people connect with you so they can start that process of learning, especially some of the great advice like you taught today about seeking expert counsel?
Mm-hmm. Well, I would say the expert counsel, we have a group called it's the Goal Achievers Community, and you can join that. It's a private group. You just join, and then we have to approve you, which we approve everybody, quite frankly. And then if garbage shows up, we get rid of you. That's simple. But it's called the Gold Achiever Community, and these are like-minded people, which is really what it's all about, is either getting amongst people that are trying to learn or getting amongst people that have already learned. But either way, there's benefits to that. So it's the Gold Achiever Community. So that's very easy. It's on Facebook, Gold Achiever Community. Next is on Facebook is our little company is called Results From Thinking. And you can find us, it's all one word, Results From Thinking. Very easy to find on a Facebook search. And then the next part of it is we have a online personal development course called Rethink You 2.0, Rethink You 2.0, which you'll see that in the sites. And it's a course that we designed. This is the second rendition of it. And it's A to Z, you know, how to do what I did, right? A to Z. And it's all based on, I mean, I've read over 2,000 books on self-development, and All that information is condensed into this course, which is a video format. It is a text format. So you get a workbook, you get the videos. And that's, by the way, that's $397 all in. And, but also we actually, it's really neat how we did it. We have people like yourself who have done the course, who have just gone on to do crazy things in a good way, I mean, and then they're representing what they did. And so it's really kind of neat. So it's myself and Derek Kelly and Chuck Bellina, who was really very much behind us. He died of a colon cancer. So he's very much part of our spirit. And then there's probably an additional 5 or 6 people in there that are actually teaching or testimonial type stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's just really cool how we did it, but it's a great course. And, you know, if you do what we tell you to do, you're going to be successful beyond your wildest imagination. And by the way, it could be about money. It could be about health. It could be about love. It could be about all three, right? It's all whatever it means to you to be successful in life. So anyways, that's there. That's $397. And we do have a podcast. It's called the Pragmatist Podcast, which we're very new at, figuring it out, getting some traction there. Not to your level by any stretch, but hope to be there someday. And again, it's not about a million. It's not about any of that kind of stuff, which is how Jim Shrookey thinks a million, get a million people, a million followers. You know, it's all about one person. That's all I'm interested in, is one person, one very important person who is on the other side of this message. And I need one to say, okay, I'm going to do this. And then all I want in return is your stories, right? And so if that number is 10, that's 10 times the joy. If it's 100, it's 100 times the joy. And quite frankly, if it is a million, it's a million times the joy. But I don't want to focus on a million. That's how big thinkers think. And that's how Jim Shorkey, car guy, thinks. But I'm really cautious about that, because I know I can become consumed with stuff. And I don't want that for this particular mission. Wow. Quite frankly, I do believe it'll be a million. I do. Because it's just very good pragmatic, by the way. The idea behind it is, what can we say to people that is sensible, reasonable, actionable? And we don't want to deal in theory. I don't want theory. I want science. That so there's sense. So much theory out there. I don't want theory. When I talk to you about marketing, I want science. I don't want, well, this is what we think might work. No, I want to show me. It worked in Texas. Oh, I'm with you. Okay. If it works in Texas, it's going to work in Pittsburgh, most likely. That's how I view it.
That's very good. And you're a student of the game. So thanks again, Jim, for stopping by. I appreciate it. And it was great meeting you.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. You're listening and watching The Neil Haley Show. We'll be back in just a moment.